Hey everybody, Chuck here. Before we get started, I just want to let you know that CritCon 2025 is live. Once again, we're hosting a game convention in Portland, Oregon this October 24th, 25th, and 26th at the Hilton Doubletree, right off the Max Line near downtown. Killscream is back with Killscream 4, a two-day tournament with two golden tickets on the line. It's 2 days this year, October 25th and 26th, with some amazing prize support as usual, and the Kill Team Cascadia Bounty Board for charity, as well as a painting contest to go along with it this year. This year on Friday, we also have Kill Team Doubles. You push two boards together and fight with your partner against another team, deal with shooting across boards, sharing command points with your partner, and battle through three rounds against two opponents. This year, we have a bunch of other game systems too, including Star Wars Shatterpoint, Star Wars Legion, Horus Heresy 30K, and Marvel Crisis Protocol. If you took some of the hobby classes last year, don't worry. Painting classes return this year, along with Dan Osborne and Useless Wizard from last year. We have former Privateer Press studio painter Matt DiPietro and Portland local Selnar teaching classes Friday through Sunday. We also have discounted rooms available at the Hilton Doubletree. You can find all the info at CascadiaTabletop.com or in the show notes. Tickets are on sale now. We hope to see you there this October. Come show Connor your feet. And Connor, you were late, so you got the intro.
Okay, this episode of the Box Cascadia podcast brought to you by Fort George, our new beer sponsor, and their fun little glasses.
I wish they were our beer sponsor. I'm literally drinking a Fort George right now. I got the City of Dreams going on. Tyler, what are you drinking tonight, buddy?
I'm not actually drinking a beer tonight. So,
is everything okay?
I just didn't crack one open before the show. Should I go get one? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on 1 second. I'll be right back. Crack right, one on the air.
Well, Tyler's getting a brewski. What are you drinking, buddy? What sugar-free drink are you drinking?
Whoops, muted again. Not much right now. Just a Diet Sprite.
Diet Sprite. Not going with the Diet Dr. Pepper or Diet Cherry Coke.
Nope, just the good old Diet Sprite. Wanted something, a nice lime soda at the moment.
I mean, I think it's a lemon lime, technically, so I don't know, there's just a lime soda would be that great, but I'll let this slide. So the reason that Connor said we were sponsored by Fort George, one of my favorite places on the planet, is because Chucky Con 2025 happened this past weekend. Chucky Con Vox Coast Cadia 2025 edition happened, and we're going to recap that tonight. So, Tyler, ready to crack a cold one?
I am. That was glorious, by the way, this weekend. So, there we go.
All right, what's the poison?
This is my go-to, just like everyday drinker. It's the Cryo Stash Imperial IPA. You know, it's just like smooth and good and tasty and crisp.
Is that an Elysian one?
Or is it? No, it's what is it? Hop Valley.
Okay. So we had Chucky Con 2025 down in Astoria, Oregon at the coast. And we were there, most of us were there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and left on Sunday. We have access to a coast house thanks to Jenna's parents. Thank you, Paul and Lisa. You're the best. And we're just going to kind of go through it. I have a lot of notes about it, and some of the notes make sense and some of them don't. So I'm hoping a lot of these notes were taken in various states of inebriation. So this is what I do, is like when we go to events, I just kind of take notes. I've got a Google Doc, and we're going to see if we can decipher those and just kind of talk through our weekend. So my first note is, welcome to the channel of truth. Do you guys know what the hell I meant by that?
Channel of truth. What is there timestamps on these? That's what I want to know.
This is the very first one. So this would have probably been like Thursday. Maybe.
Probably after the Washington crew showed up. So like, first day, like it was you who arrived Thursday morning, right?
Yeah, I got there about noon, so pretty early.
And then Connor, and what time did your gang roll in?
We came in around like 3, me, Nick, and Cody.
Okay. So Greg was flying in all the way from the East Coast. I scooped him from PDX Airport about 7:45. Then we scooted on over, got there about 10:15 ish, And the first thing I remember doing is coming in and pouring a drink, you know.
There was a few drinks. So the Checky Con crew this year, it was myself, Tyler, Connor, Greg, who flew from fucking Maryland to come hang out with us. Well done, Greg.
Thank you.
Cody, Jeremy Spake, Sam Sealing. Who am I missing? Who's the last one?
Nick.
And Nick.
Come on, you forgot your best friend. Wow.
For like 41 years. So,
wow.
So we had 8 people. So we were actually able to put on like a tournament too, Tyler. You can find us and find it on Best Coast Pairings, even too, the tournament results. So, great idea by you, Tyler, to actually organize it in a tournament, because I remember last year we kind of, just kind of
winged it. Like there was no structure. Like, this way we knew who we were playing, and we just had it was 3 rounds over 3 days. That was the goal. So you just had to play 1 round a day against your opponent. And it just gave us a little bit of structure to our play, you know, and I thought that was good. You know, it like gave everyone a little bit of an itinerary on what was overall a pretty loose event.
Yeah, it was kind of loose. We planned for a million activities and did probably 5 of them, but it was an amazing weekend. All of the attendees were patrons or involved in the podcast, except for Jeremy. So maybe Jeremy needs to kick down to the Patreon, Vox Cascadia, patreon.com/ Vox Cascadia podcast. So,
Jeremy's he's done work for us on CritCon, on our flyers and stuff, so you know that counts, I think.
No, Jeremy's fantastic. He brought a bunch of terrain, brought a bed just in case he needed it. We didn't end up needing it because unfortunately Sam wasn't able to crash because of having COVID the previous week. So my next note talks about my work anxiety. So I'm pretty calm in most situations, except for there's one part of my work which is called branch review, which once per year they show up randomly and audit my branch. I've always done amazing in it, but I was trying to get out of town early. I left work at like 10 o'clock. I was trying to get out of there as soon as I could to get down to the coast because I didn't want people to get there before me, and luckily they did not show up, but it was like I was driving myself nuts about it. But luckily that didn't happen. I was able to get down there. And my note after that is, Tyler, your thoughts on astronauts?
Astronauts? Like, you can't trust astronauts, you know? Like, they could have astro babies if they get a woman pregnant, like, or if they could become pregnant, you know? Like, they're addicted to Tang. They can't eat solid food. They have to blend it up first. An astronaut moved into my neighborhood, and all of the leaves started falling off of trees.
That's,
you know, coincidence, huh?
I mean, it's probably coincidence. So,
yeah.
But so anyways, Thursday, as Tyler said, we got down there. So I got there first. Connor, Nick, and Cody got down there a little bit after I did. And we went down to Fort George on Thursday. Fort George Brewing in Astoria. If you have a chance, if you live in the Northwest, grab Fort George beer. They're amazing. And Fort George, their place in Astoria is amazing as well too. They've got a downstairs pub. They've got an upstairs pizza place, which is Jenna's favorite. They've got a merch place that's just got some brews. They got a tap house as well too. So we had dinner down there, and we were downtown Astoria, and we decided to do a little toddle. So we walked over to Bowie Brewing just down the street from there, and we're sitting there, and it's me, Cody, Nick, and Connor, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like watching people, having a drink, talking to my buddies. And I look up and I see a person. I'm like, is that fucking Keaton? I'm like, Keaton. So Keaton Owen, like member of the community, Patreon, my Timbers buddy, hooked me up with some Timbers swag. Just like walks into Bowie Brewing.
Yeah. Cats team artist, you know,
number one podcast fan.
Yeah. General cool dude.
Yeah, so like randomly just Keaton shows up out of nowhere with some friends. I guess he was doing a day at the coast. Tyler was excited thinking we'd have another player for the tournament, but unfortunately they were just hanging out for the day. So on Painting Cave Minis on Instagram, you can see the photo we took together. And I don't know, did you guys catch in the photo that I posted? I don't know if you looked closely, because I had multiple people point out to me that my fly was down actually.
Wow. No, everyone just let you run around like that? I would never do you dirty like that, Chuck.
Yeah. Thanks, Connor. Where were you on that one?
I'm sorry I wasn't staring at your crotch, Chuck. I'll do my best next time.
I'm why not?
I don't have a real answer, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, no. So if you want to go see me when I fly down, it's on Instagram there. I had multiple people message me and say, great job on that one. So, but we hung out downtown and then, headed back to the house. We're just going to hang out and we let Connor drive, which is always a terrifying experience. Connor, what do you think about yourself as a driver?
I think I'm okay.
Tyler, what do you think about Connor as a driver?
I think, I would say, yeah, I've ridden with a lot of people. I've known a lot of average drivers and stuff. Connor's among the worst of the people I've ever ridden with. There's this other girl I knew way back in the day named Becky. Becky was terrifying. Connor's just slightly less than that. You know, like serviceable. He'll get you there. He may almost crash the car or almost, kill
someone. Remember a guy on a motorcycle?
Yeah, take out a motorcyclist or two. But other than that, solid.
Yeah, spoiler alert. It's always almost. So Greg was nice enough to buy us pizza on, I think, Saturday evening. Connor took my car to go get pizza, and I didn't even find this out until Sunday after Connor had left that Tyler was telling me that Connor, he almost ran over a guy on a motorcycle.
No, I took a left. He was coming from a right at the stop at the same time, and I just went before realizing he was also going to go at the same time.
No, you had to back into the parking lot.
Wait, I didn't have to back into the parking lot.
Because you let him pass by you.
Because then the pickup truck behind that guy also continued as if I wasn't already pulled out, so I just had to wait for a second.
I'm just saying.
It doesn't help that when Connor drives and we're in the car with him, we're also all just kind of screaming at him the entire time.
Yeah, that doesn't fucking help either. I have four backseat drivers yelling at me the entire time. I'm already in a car I don't know that is my friend's car, so I'm a little more nervous as it is. Let's not act like I'm getting out here. I've never gotten a ticket. I've never crashed a car once in my life. But God forbid three or four drunk people in the backseat yelling at you In a city you don't drive, in a car you don't drive, makes you a little nervous.
Hey, that's the price of drunken friendships. Yes, people could give you shit about it.
You can pay for Uber is all I'm saying. All drives Chuck. And Nick was great. He didn't complain. So he'll get a ride in Chuck's car.
Cody was very adamant about, like, we can take an Uber. And I was like, no, it's good. Connor's not going to drink. Connor will have like a drink because if not, it'll spike his blood sugar and kill him or something. And every time we did it, I really appreciate you getting us home safely, Connor. And yes, yeah, we did absolutely give you a ton of shit to it. But it's also one of those, like, I would never do this, but I feel like I would probably be a better drunk driver than you sober.
Only one way to find out.
I mean, I would, if we could find a place to take a driving test where Connor is stone cold sober and I will be like almost blackout drunk, I would 100% do that.
As if parallel parking is involved, yeah, you got me. That was the only thing I missed points on in my driving test.
When I took my driving test, actually, many years before you were born, there was somebody actually doing the parallel parking, so I got the pass and I didn't have to actually take parallel parking. What?
Someone was doing it? Like, you took your test with another person at the same time?
No, there was another person taking a test in a different vehicle.
Gotcha. Okay.
So they were doing parallel parking, and my instructor's like, no, just fine, whatever, you just go, which is good because that was the part I was like terrified of. But now with backup cameras, parallel parking is not that big a deal.
Yeah, that definitely probably makes it easier having the backup cam. I have yet to like own a vehicle with that. And more importantly, next time I buy a car, I'll just get the ones that have the button that do it for you.
Whoa. I don't know if I trust the button.
Has worked great. I've been in like Ubers and shit with them, and they go great. I trust that, but I don't like trust the autopilot, the Tesla one or whatever. Not quite there yet.
So Connor, this is Thursday, my Thursday notes. I have notes about your cat watching escapades when Sierra was out of town. Do you want to share with the listening public what
Yeah, so what happened? Oh, is that what PJ? We're trying to figure out what Connor's PJ is, but
I don't know. I have a note also says Connor's PJ, and I don't know what that is.
Yeah, we've been stumped by that for like a full week at this point.
What did you sleep in?
No, it wasn't that. Like, that never came up. But yeah, so about 2 weeks ago, Sierra went down to visit some friends, and I was in charge of the cats. And one of our cats has been becoming leash trained because we're millennials like that. And we got him as strays that were used to the outside, and we've been taking him to my mom's like backyard where it's nice and fenced in with tall fences, no way for them to escape. And he's just having a grand old time exploring the backyard. And so we've been getting him more used to leash so that way we can take him on walks late at night because now he begs by the door. This is the day Sierra is now gone. He's begging by the door to go out. I take him out and I decided to take the trash with me because, you know, we've been leash training for about like 10 days at this point and he's had no issues whatsoever. Tonight, though, he decided to have issues. I don't know if it was the noise of the trash compactor or just like being near the smell of it or something, but he freaked the hell out and took off running and like got out of the harness, which was terrifying because I went with the more comfortable harness that was for his sister. So I guess it's a little like, I don't know. I don't know how he got out of it, but long story short, my cat gets out. I have to call Sierra. I'm losing my mind because I've never like had a cat before. This is the first time she's left me alone with him. And now he's run off and I've lost sight of him. So I'm in full panic mode, like practically bursting into tears because I'm like, oh my God, I've lost my cat. It's going to cause an irreplaceable rift in the relationship. This is over. It's so bad. After like 40 minutes of chasing this stupid little guy around, he finally, I think the anxiety of being freaked out wears out. And he just passes out, or not really passes out, but goes prone, lies down in the cement after I finally caught up with him and like was able to keep an eye on him. And I brought him inside, and I've not taken him out since in like the 2 weeks because he's lost outdoor privileges.
Yeah, you got to take him away. Like if he's not going to like stay close to you, that can't happen. Connor, you also have you've got a weird like dark fantasy maybe about how your life is going to end with in your 40s when Sierra leaves you. Yes. You've mentioned multiple times. Now in your mind, while the cat was missing, and you were. Was that dark fantasy like playing out and you're like, oh my God, it's going to happen in my late 20s?
A little bit, just because it's like, I know that thing of there's always the horror movie situation, or not even horror movie, but like Lifetime dramedy, like that Will Ferrell movie we'll have to talk about, but where something goes wrong and it causes a rift in the relationship like that, like the death of a child or the death of your pet.
A fatal abortion?
Fatal adoption.
Fatal adoption, yeah.
We'll get to that. That's Friday stuff. Thursday was us hearing about Connor breaking down in tears because he thought he lost his cat. By the way, if I thought I lost Indy, I would.
Yeah, I mean, because he just took off running, and like it's the thing of you don't want to chase them because that's going to keep them more freaked out. But we lived like, you know, in an apartment complex, so he went up like some of those outdoor stairs to like a raised elevation, like to, you know, because it's built into a hill type thing, and that's when I lost sight of him. And it's like it's pitch black back behind the final row of apartments because there's no real like lights out there. So he's either under a car, but there's plenty of bushes. And I'm just like, oh, my God, what if he just kept on running type of deal? But thankfully, after walking around and calling his name, I noticed him like hanging out by a high car. But he still was freaked out and wouldn't let me approach him for another like 25 minutes or so. So that was not too fun.
No, so doesn't sound fun at all.
No, chasing down animals that don't want to be caught is terrifying, and I feel for you there, buddy. So, so that was Thursday. Greg and Tyler showed up. Greg again flew in from Maryland for Chucky Con. Like,
thanks, Greg. You're the best.
I'm a dick. I won't fly to there over there for Nova, but I'll go. Maybe I'll go next year. But he comes here for weird weekend at the coast. So that was Thursday, and then we went to bed. Friday morning we wake up, we walk down to the market, took a little walk, market was closed. And Tyler, I think Tyler and Greg, maybe Tyler and Greg or Tyler and Cody went down and got some beverages. And then at that point we started the tournament. We started the beach brawl. So, being able to navigate best coast pairings is amazing. Cause like I said, last year we played a bunch of kill team games, but we were just kind of like, hey, do you want to play? Do you want to play? But Tyler, great idea organizing an actual tournament. Next year we can get a golden ticket probably too, because it'd be year two.
Year two, so, yeah, absolutely. We'll play nice and early and you know, get that golden ticket for it. So,
yeah, I mean, honestly, I think we could actually, like, if we set it up right, we could go play at a brewery or something down there and get, I don't know, maybe 16 players or something. We had 8 this year. So the beach brawl started. I round one, I got to play a little later because I drew into Jeremy, who Jeremy wasn't going to get there until later in the evening. And then we played like post dinner, but, let's talk about round one for y'all.
So Tyler, to go over real quick, the rules.
Yes. Good call.
So this was a tournament where you could take different teams. As you progressed, you just had to decide before pairings were up. You know, like, it was an honor system. We weren't like super strict about it. But round one, I played Sam. He was playing Nemesis Claw. I was playing,
by the way, real quick players. Correction. Sam texted me and said it's Sulian. So I got it wrong. And I text Sam before the podcast. And I was like, how do you pronounce your last name? I've never actually heard it, and it's unique. And Sam's got actually a namedrop.io where he, where they pronounce it. So, you had round one into Sam. Sam brought Nemclaw.
I brought Sanctifiers. It was a really good match. It was 15-12. And you know, I'd had a couple drinks at that point, so details are blurry. But it was fun. It was very close. Sam played really well. Maneuvered his dudes up, like, or well, held his dudes back just right. So it was kind of a real cagey match. Made me push forward and, you know, punish me where he could, but I was able to pull out the lead on it. You know, once I was able to get some combos going, it was real strong. You know, the Sanctifiers are very good. I really want to thank Zach for his explanation the previous week, or I guess that week, of Sanctifiers, and really kind of got me juiced up to play them, you know.
Yeah, I was actually excited to try and play them too. I never did get a chance to play them this last weekend, but I know Greg was mentioning actually that he wants to play Sanctifiers now just from hearing Zach. Yeah. Go back and listen to episode 81 from last week. Zach does a deep, deep, deep dive on them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that we could have gone for another hour easy. I think that there's at least that much volume
on that. I think Zach could have gone for another hour. I don't know if you and I could have gotten another hour.
Yes, and my endurance was burnt, you know. 2 hours where I max out, baby.
Yeah. Let's be fair. You max out at about an hour, but you went to like two just because, you know, Zach can go for a long time. That's what I hear. That's just what I hear. So, Connor, what was your round one matchup?
My round matchup was with good old friend Cody. He was trying out your Aquilons, I think. I think they were your Aquilons. We were playing on one of Tyler's Sigmar boards. I don't know where Zet Terrain come from.
Warcry.
Yeah. And I was playing my Nemesis Claw, of course. We were playing loot for the first mission, and it was pretty good. He got me with a good double stun because I keep just forgetting positioning and how stun grenades work because I'm dumb. But I was able to kill his like Melta Bomber for it, and he just had lots of threats for me in turn one and turn two, being able to drop onto the vantage points. But you know, that's just Aquilons. That's what they do well. I was able to kill him a lot, but unfortunately, he just was able to get enough kills and enough of the primary, in particularly, to pull it out 16-13.
So right now, my Aquilons are actually undefeated because Bean took them to a tournament up here and went 3-0, won the tournament. Cody took them into Connor and beat you. So my Aquilons have never been beat. I have never played my Aquilons, so there's a loss coming up for them, but. So that was round one. After round one, we kind of hung out. Jeremy got down there eventually. He had some real life stuff to deal with. So and then we went down for dinner. We went back to Fort George because Greg wanted to go there, and I will go there constantly. I even suggested Fort George another night on the weekend. Had dinner down there. We went over to, we went to... I guess it was the night before we went to Breakside with Cody, where Cody told us all about toilet paper. Apparently, you shouldn't use Kirkland toilet paper because it'll fuck up your pipes. And then we went over to a little whiskey bar and had what were they? The S'mores Manhattans?
Mm-hmm. That was real good.
Yeah. And then we showed Jeremy Connor's picture of Halo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most universally talked about dumb photos of me. But unfortunately, this is not an easy way to share this photo with the general public. But it's a great one. Jeremy's reaction was incredible.
I think you just put my face on the face of the young lady you were denying. Mm-hmm. And then you just shared out however you want. But Jeremy's quote was, to me, was that I really undersold it.
Yeah.
You know, I think we put Jeremy's face from the recreation on the other photo.
We'll get to that part too. Yeah. But that came up again because everyone wants to see that Connor lore in person. And it's impressive. If you guys see Connor in person, show me feet and then ask for that picture.
Or show him feet.
Yeah.
I don't need to see anyone's feet. I'm good.
Are you?
I mean, I don't want people just whipping their dogs out like that.
Maybe just take a photo beforehand and then show them.
Okay.
I guess that would work. If you really feel necessary in doing this.
Yeah, we did book club, actually. So if you're on the Kill Team of Cascadia Discord, there's a book club called Chuck's Book Club, which Tyler named because I was like, we should do a book club. And Tyler's like, sure, you're doing it. And so we actually went and we recorded our first Vox Cascadia video, which is available on our Patreon, patreon.com/VoxCascadiaPodcast, where myself, Tyler, Sam, and Nick sat down and talked through Elemental Council. Zach eventually joined us, eventually not on video, but we've actually got video. You can see Indy too. He's in there. So we talked through the book and shared our feelings about it. My feelings are that I didn't like it. But everybody else loved it. So I'm glad that y'all enjoyed it. I didn't really care for it, but it is available on our Patreon. Eventually we'll probably put it out for normal consumption, but it's super spoiler heavy. But if you want to hear about Elemental Council, which is apparently a fan favorite for everybody but me, it's on there.
Sure, yeah, we're deciding our next book soon. So get on our Discord and post in the Chuck's Book Club.
Yeah, come make suggestions. I think we should do the Caiaphas Cain book. We should do the For the Emperor. I think that's a really good book. Tyler, have you read that one?
No, for some reason the Caiaphas Cain books don't interest me.
I don't know. They're just like, they're like kind of capers, and he's just kind of a, I don't know, he's a very interesting imperial character because he doesn't, while he's all for the emperor, he's more about saving himself and not going to throw himself into stuff, but it always works out for him. I love those books. I think they're great.
Yeah. I think like, isn't it like a retelling of like an old series?
I have no idea.
It's kind of based on the Sharp series, I think, which is like a similarly sarcastic character from like World War II.
That's a big, what's his face? Peachy Tips, the old GW guy. He loves Sharps.
Yeah, I think it's all like, it's really just like a retelling of like Sharps. And then the other one is like a retelling of like another, like the other, like Gaunt's Ghost or whatever.
Sorry, no, Gaunt's Ghost is Sharp. The Edmund Black Adder series is apparently what's the big inspiration for Caiaphas Cain. Also British humor, but a much more like Caiaphas Cain look, while Sharp apparently is more Band of Brothers-esque.
Yeah, I think Sharp's a little more serious overall. So,
well, I still think we should listen to those because read those. I think those are some of my favorite ones.
I just, you know, like it's such a big series.
I listen to Elemental fucking Council for 16 fucking hours for you. You can do the 12 hours of Caiaphas Cain books.
I don't even think the first Caiaphas Cain is that long. It's like a 300 pager, so that's a pretty quick book.
I feel like you owe me.
Yeah. You know, Elemental, everyone loved it except for you. You know, like that.
I don't care. I'm just saying. I feel like you owe me. I pushed through. I checked. You know how many? I started the book over. I got like 4 hours into it, started over because I didn't know what the fuck was going on, and pushed through for you.
I can't wait to read this in November to find out if it's good or not.
It's not.
Just because, like, you would need to go to a Tau re-education camp, isn't my problem. So.
Elemental Council was 17 hours and 32 minutes. I listened to it at 1.2 speed, so it's like 16 hours of my life. 20 because I listened to the first part twice that I'll never get back. Caiaphas Cain, the first Caiaphas Cain book is, let's see here, hold on.
Who's whispering?
Oh, that's, I'm listening. Turning on the book. So it's only 9 hours.
you know, like, so, like, here's my gripe, my one complaint with starting Caiaphas Kane. I'm not ready to delve that deep into, like, a series. If I like it, I'm going to want to read all of them right back to back. And I, like, I consume books really fast. And I don't want that expense right now.
That, I mean, I'll let you sign into my Audible. I have the first three books. I got, like, 3 credits left, too. I'll get the first, like, 6 books for you.
Having read the first Caiaphas Kane and the second one, I think even the third one, you can read the first one and, like, get the general vibe. They're a fun series, but after you've kind of seen the first one, you generally know where it's gone from there. And unless you really fall in love with the character, I think you're going to be fine just listening to the first one and be like, I got the gist. I'm good on just that.
Yeah, you know. Like, we'll put it up to a vote is what we'll do. Okay.
Great. I'm gonna do that tonight. Let's see. So
let's give people 24 hours, you know, like from the posting of this, so they can get in our Discord and make some suggestions.
All right, we'll do that too. So we'll give you 20. So from this post at 12:01 a.m. on Thursday Pacific Standard Time, you'll have, so in like 6 hours, 4 hours, you'll have 24 hours from that point to make suggestions, and then I'll put up a poll, totally biased and controlled by me, that will push you towards the book that I want you to listen to. So, my next note in there is, if they get Tyler back, I'm back, about Nick going back to religion. So we got into a little like religious talk. Nick, spoiler, used to be religious, fell out of it. But they said if Nick said that if Tyler can get, if religion gets Tyler back, Nick's back.
I like that, you know, this is a touchy subject, but like, let's just say I pretty strongly don't believe in nothing. I am a firm atheist. You know, nothing on anyone who does believe. So, you know, we can go a little deeper personally. If you buy me a drink or two, I'll tell you my deep personal thoughts on it. Okay.
My next note is actually still from Friday, is that Connor and Tyler, when you two get together in person, you argue very passionately. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, like, you guys go back and forth a little bit on the podcast here, but when you guys are in person, like, neither of you relent. It's impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. What happened on
Friday? Or was that the...
That was Thursday.
Had to be Thursday. No, I think it was Friday. Well, I don't know. It's in my Friday notes. But yeah, when the two of you get together...
I think if there was a thing on Friday that would have caused that. Because I know we had our Zoomer versus Gen Z discussion.
Yeah. Well, Zoomer versus Millennial.
No. There's a difference.
Exactly. That was my point. Difference. Anyway, we'll hash that out again later. Yeah, but I think we came to an understanding.
I don't think you did. I think you guys just like stopped talking to each other for a while.
You were angry because we weren't watching Mallrats.
Well, that was Saturday. So
I don't remember what would have happened Friday.
I don't know. It just, that's in my like kind of in the Friday notes. So. Let's see.
Connor's fun to bicker with. He feels like an old ball and chain. You know, I love
it. I'll take it.
So then, let's see. Next in my notes, you guys need to start taking notes too. Tyler, my note says new Tyler lore on drugs in an ambulance. Do you want to share that, or do you want to just leave that to the mystery?
Yeah. So like this one time, I was taking some psychedelics.
Sorry, real quick, just to interrupt you. It's new Tyler lore because we've known each other for a couple of years now, and I don't know that there's much that you don't know about me, but every time we're together, some fucking wild situation you've been into like just pops up, and it's amazing. And I love it about you. So this is my new Tyler lore for the weekend.
Okay. So like, we've taken some psychedelics, and I had like a minor stroke, like a TIA on it. So that's a side effect that you have to be aware of. I didn't take the prescribed ibuprofen beforehand, which probably would have stopped it, but be safe. I don't recommend doing drugs. Kids, no. Anyways, so call an ambulance, and I'm in the ambulance, and so one of the things when you have a TIA or a stroke is that you can get like weird phantom sensations and pains in other parts of your extremities, like your arm. Okay. And so I'm a little out of it, of course. And I'm saying like, hey, I'm getting this pain in my left arm and they don't have me hooked up to anything. And, you know, like, I'm like, hey, I'm having this pain in my left arm. Will you please just check it out? You know, like, can you check if I'm having a heart attack? And he's like, you're not having a heart attack. He's like, that what you're feeling right now is the drugs going through your liver because you've taken too many and overdosed on it, which isn't what happened, you know. And like, I was like, hey, you know, like, that's not what happened. He's like, no, I know, I'm a medical professional. And I'm like, hey man, I know my stuff. Like, I've done a lot of research, done a lot of reading academically about this. Like, I know it's not that. He's like, no, you just listen. I was like, man, your job is to fucking just do your job, check, make sure I'm alive and stable. So you do that and you stop telling me stuff. Okay. Your job is to get me to the fucking hospital. And so we get to the hospital and apparently they'd called ahead to security, and security was there and a cop and a few other paramedics. And they're like, is there a problem here, sir? And I was like, no, he just needs to do his fucking job because he's not a fucking doctor. And if he was smart enough to be a fucking doctor, he wouldn't be in the back of this fucking ambulance right now trying to fucking make shit up. And so that was that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, new Tyler lore. It just, again, love to unravel the mystery behind your life as someone who's kind of led a pretty pedestrian life. And I mean, Connor, I'm sure you can, you feel the same way too, besides the, you know, fumbling bad bitches piece. It's really interesting to hear the life you've lived. And when I was just kind of like hanging out.
I mean, you know, I was just hanging out too.
I mean, hanging out in a wildly different way. Like, I have zero stories about like being in an ambulance, for one, thank God, but two, because of drugs, three, and like,
that was the only time that psychedelics landed me in the hospital. So
yeah, I've done zero psychedelics and
completely different situation. Nothing major health, like just, you know, almost slicing through my foot with some glass.
Okay. We'll get back to that. We'll get back to that one later. Make a note about that one. So we got back to the house and we watched the weirdest, well, we watched part of, I kind of wanted to watch the whole thing, but I watched part of the weirdest fucking Will Ferrell movie ever. So Tyler, this is something that you brought up. There's a Lifetime movie that Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig star in.
Yep.
That they, what was it called? It was called
A Deadly Adoption.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's played completely totally straight,
serious. Like there's no moment. Like, you keep waiting for that like moment where they're gonna like give you like that satisfaction that it's all a joke. It always feels like it's like right around the corner, right?
Yeah, it feels like an SNL skit that's just like building up. We watched like the first 20 minutes of it. It was just totally straight. It's 90 minutes. It's on YouTube. Go watch it, because it's so weird. And you see these people and you're like, all these people ever do is funny stuff. And all they're just doing is basically like Lifetime shit. Like, in the first 5 minutes, the Kristen Wiig, who plays the wife, like, spoiler alert for this movie, she falls into the lake because the railing on the dock hasn't been replaced by Will Ferrell's character. And she's pregnant at the time and she loses the baby. And then they like spiral from there. And at no point are they making jokes. It's just, they play totally straight. Like, this feels like somebody just had a fuck ton of money and was like, we're going to do this. And we're just going to, because we want to.
I mean, I think Lifetime just produced it because they needed to make the movie, and you know, they had good actors to do it. So like, what more reason do you need? Right? Like, it's already going to get made. So why not have Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig in it?
Yeah, but it's out there. You guys need to watch it. It's wild. So real quick, I've talked about the Patreons before. I want to thank our Patreons, and I'm going to thank them by name. Cody, the first New Oil Paint for Tyler Patreon. There, I said your name first, Cody. Jenna, Sam, Sean, Nick, Holly, Zarin, Greg, Rob, Zach, Scott, Keaton, Ryan, Thomas, and Mark. So Cody was giving me shit because I always said Jenna's name first because she was actually the first Patreon. So she happened to be at the house when I made it. So, but there you go, Cody. I said your name first. So by the way, for our Patreons, we've got new exclusive stickers, right, Tyler?
Yeah, absolutely. Stickers just came in. We'll get a little form out there to get addresses, or you can pick it up from one of us at one of our events. So,
yeah, I need to get one of those stickers. They're super sweet. We'll have to post it up. Maybe we'll use it as the like title image for this episode. It's very Northwest specific. So, yeah. And Connor,
yes,
I have a quote from Greg, that says, "I'm a livabetic." Not a diabetic.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember what the context for that was, but I remember it killed Nick. Nick was laughing for like 20 seconds straight.
Yeah. And then also, my note also says Connor shaming type 2 diabetes people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that too.
I didn't shame type 2 diabetes people.
Definitely. There was like an air of superiority. You're like, I have the type 1, which is the more severe genetic kind that you can't help.
All I said
the other ones are just a failure of personal morality. You know, if they had strong morals and ate their cornflakes in the morning and didn't masturbate so often, they wouldn't have type 2 diabetes. That was a speech you gave.
I don't think that's true.
Well, no, the weird part was when you like stood up on the table and people asked you to get down and you just continue to go.
I'm dying.
No, is it the diabetes? it's not the diabetes, apparently. So
I don't know.
Yeah, we need to make like the, you know, the what is it, the Bane meme, like you were born into the darkness. Yeah. Or I was born in darkness, you merely adapted it. Connor, you need, that's what the sticker or like the shirt you need, like I was born into the beaties, you merely adapted it,
but I also wasn't born into it.
Well, close enough, right?
Yeah, I got it right before my fifth birthday.
Okay. All, but it wasn't,
was that, wasn't it? Type 2 diabetes is what happened, is the one you get when either you're really old or pretty fat, which is generally how it happens, because most people, if they're born with diabetes, if you're born with diabetes or you get it young, like I did.
Need a moment.
I don't know what's going on. I feel fine, but my throat's still kind of closed up.
Are you having asthma?
No, I've never had asthma. I don't know.
You're gonna shame at people with asthma now too?
No, why would I do that?
I don't know. You shame people who take type 2 diabetes.
I'm not shaming them. It's just unfortunate. Type 2 diabetes generally happens when you're old or when you're fat, because your body's not good at producing enough insulin, either because you just have too much weight, for a lack of a better way to say that, or your body's just old and it starts to break down, right? But type 1, which is what you get when you're born, or if you're just really unlucky like me, and you get it when you're a kid, is your body can no longer produce the insulin like in its entirety, from what I understand. Because like in my case, and it's why a lot of type 1 diabetics, you can't just get it fixed with a surgery, it's because your body attacks like the proteins or whatever it is in the pancreas that makes the insulin, which is why you could get like a surgery and it would cure diabetes for a couple of months. But then as those proteins were attacked and destroyed again, then you'd end up with diabetes again.
I love that we just like triggered like the whole rant again.
Yeah. That it just like comes back with the shame.
If they're so fat or old, like ew, old people, man, they're decaying.
You food in your mouth at the same time there?
I was taking a bite, yes.
He's definitely choking to death and eating. He's going to mama cast on us.
Can you actually, like, can you make your type 1 into type 2, or are you just like,
or would it be type 3? No, it would not combine, no.
I'm just curious, so. But yeah, Connor hates people with diabetes. So,
I'm a self-hating diabetic, 100%.
Yeah. Also, you should just go with the, like, yes, I was born with it. It just didn't develop until I was a little bit older.
I mean, that might be the case. We don't really know what gave it to me.
Were you bitten by a diabetic, a radioactive diabetic or something, and got, like, diabetic superpowers? Or I don't know how diabetes is passed from one person to another.
It's not really passed like that. It's, like, genetic most of the time. So
that's good, because I'm pretty sure we shared a drink or something together. And I am
putting voodoo diabetes on your voodoo doll, but
I mean, I don't, you know, do I need to go get tested? It's like, you know, Do I need to like talk to all the people that I've like shared drinks with later, Linda? Like, hey, by the way, I shared a drink with a diabetic.
You could, yeah, you should actually do that. That'd be pretty entertaining.
Okay. So at this point, we're back at the house, and Jeremy showed up before dinner. We went out to dinner, and then I played a game with Jeremy. So Jeremy brought his amazingly painted Phobos. I brought my new favorite team, the Battleclade, and I have very little recollection of what actually happened in that game. So it was my first game with Battleclade ever. They're a very complicated team, and I had been drinking a lot. So Jeremy, like, track targeted me into the ground, and I didn't know how to deal with it, and didn't know the rules of Battleclade, and so Jeremy beat me. My only saving grace for that entire game was basically like Jeremy had a few beverages too. And so anytime Jeremy tried to do something, I'd say, I blow up. And he'd be like, what? And Hunter Clay can't blow up. The Battle Clay can't blow up. But every time, I probably said it 15 times. And every time Jeremy's like, what?
Like thinking like you're actually exploding.
Yeah. So, no, that was, we played on Into the Dark, and I really honestly don't remember many of the details about that game. I barely remember details about most games, much less when I've been like day drinking with my buddies. So
it was a good time, though.
That was a super good time.
What were we doing while you were doing that?
You guys were standing around making fun of me, and Greg was there shaming me because I was getting the rules wrong. I was trying to network counteract and with my free ones, and you can't do anything other than like tap points or whatever, but I was trying to shoot with them. And so Greg was being a rules lawyer there while I was trying to like,
yeah, you dirty cheater.
Damn Greg, knowing the rules.
Yeah. So that was Friday. Great day. Super fun. We crashed out that night. And then, Saturday we walked down to the market again. Y'all got some like breakfast burritos and sandwiches and stuff.
Yeah, that's delicious.
Came back and kind of hung out. Oh, I did actually on Friday. I got to, since my opponent was Jeremy and Jeremy got there a little later, I got to play a lot of Stardew Valley. So that was super fun. I'm crack hooked on Stardew Valley again too.
Well, was Connor's PJ something to do with Battlefield? Because we were playing the beta on Thursday.
No, I don't think so. Okay. Because I'm gonna get to you in the Battlefield. So I got that.
Yeah, that's Saturday night. Oh, yeah. Also, I don't want to hear any weird shit about gaming takes from you, Mr. Play Still Inverted in the Lord's Year of 2025. What the hell are you on about with this? That's crazy talk, man.
It just works and it makes sense. Nope. Ask Greg.
You were never a pilot, though.
I was a pilot. I fought in the battles in X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. How dare you?
What side?
I had a threat. X-Wing, of course.
Okay, good.
I was a rebel. Yeah. I had a Thrustmaster joystick. It's not a sex toy as much as it sounds like.
A Thrustmaster joystick? Huh? Is that what they're calling it nowadays?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I had a couple Thrustmasters because one of them, the springs broke on it, but they had the full like fighter stick with the hat switch on it and all the different buttons. I actually used to use it to play Doom.
That's wild.
That's pretty crazy.
Well, that was because I used the WASD for moving around. Actually, it was the arrow keys at the time. But then I had all my like buttons mapped to the like six buttons on the joystick. Point, so
That makes sense.
So, but yeah, no, I'm yes, I
you're a dirty inverted player, and you're a dirty your crouch is console. Still on B instead of on the thumbstick player.
Weird. That's originally how it's mapped.
Yeah, but most people swap it to the other one, so that way if you need to go prone while sprinting or like dolphin dive, you know, like if you played like Black Ops back in the day, it just works better for that way for avoiding like mines and shit. Like you could dive beneath bouncing Bettys and everything.
You know, also mouse and keyboard.
Okay, Tyler, sure, but I was 14 and I could afford an Xbox, not a gaming PC.
You just plug a mouse and keyboard in now.
No, that's bullshit. You're an asshole if you do that.
Also, by the way, now, so it works fine because I have the Xbox Elite controller, so I have the thumb the paddles underneath, so I don't have to worry about it.
That's crazy. Those controllers are too heavy to me. I'm like too much of a baby. I miss my little light plastic Xbox 360 one.
No, they feel really fucking nice. If you get one, if you don't have one,
they feel good. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels quality. It doesn't feel like plasticky and like cheap, especially like the Xbox controller feels really good until you hold the Elite, and the Elite just feels like quality.
I mean, it does feel nice. Don't get me wrong. It's just, it felt so heavy, you know, and that's what was throwing me off with it.
Yeah. It weighs like maybe 1.5 times a normal controller.
I don't know.
It's time to start doing some like curls, buddy.
I don't think it has anything about that. I think it's just right. Like I'm used to the 360 controller. That one's light as hell.
Saturday, round two. Who'd y'all play in round two? Connor, who'd you play?
I fought Sam with his Nemesis Claw. It was a mirror match.
Nemclaw on Nemclaw. And how did that game go?
Pretty poorly. He trounced me.
Yeah, Sam's pretty good with Nemclaw. Yeah. Spoiler alert, he beat me in game three. But yeah, and his Nemclaw are pretty fantastic too. The he's got like little, I think little pieces of wire that are kind of bouncing around them. That are they've painted in pink that look really amazing.
Yeah, they definitely look gorgeous. Yeah, he had a cool like skull or two hanging from his plasma pistol on the leader, which was fun. Realistically, Sam's obviously a very solid player, but the big thing too is just pressing his tokens now in the mirror matchup. It feels like who can roll better turn two, and that's a huge, huge bonus. And he rolled better.
Tyler, what was your round two?
I got to play Greg. He was playing his Necromongers, which is his Necron Goremongers. Kitbashes, they're amazing. I was playing Blades of Cain. We were on Connor's Into the Dark map. Given that a beta test, which was real cool.
Yeah, you found you tweaked it up a little bit afterwards. Connor had one of the rooms that was, there was like one side that was definitely better than the other.
Yeah.
And you guys gave Connor some feedback afterwards too.
And then I fixed it up and played it for my third round, and it definitely felt better. So thank you, Greg. Thank you, Tyler.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a really good game. A game against Greg is always a good game. Greg is an incredible player. Anyone who gets an opportunity to play against him, you're in for a treat. He's, you know, very precise, very fast player. I think, like, he whiffed on a couple key moments. He was forced to take the Impaler because he didn't have another option for a guy. And so that Impaler whiffed on a shot against my Dire Avenger Exarch, and then the Dire Avenger Exarch punished him for it. I'd say overall the Dire Avengers were like the highlight of my game. You know, like they really had some good tools. But like it was a very solid game. We ended up tying 16-16. So incredible game.
So what are you thinking? So spoiler, you played Blades of Cain in game three too. And what are you thinking about Blades of Cain?
I like him. I'm an elf guy. My first mini ever was Avatar of Cain, the old metal one, followed by a bunch of Aspect Warriors. I think they're in a super great place. They have a lot of tools to deal with a lot of threats. You know, it's the biggest problem they have is that they're elves and they're eight wounds and you have eight bodies, so it's pretty low wound count overall, but I enjoy them. I think that they're very flexible and very strong.
Yeah, I had a really good time with them last year when I was trying to find something to shift off Kasarkin and never really did, but I had a good time with them too, and it seems like you're liking them. Are you thinking you'll actually like try and get the team built up?
Yeah, maybe. Like it's very tempting. I have all the parts for it, so probably should.
I mean, Tyler, you cannot just do like, you're not a basic box art bitch like me. Are you thinking? Do you have some ideas for like kit bashing for them?
I think that Eldar Aspect Warriors are one of those things you go basically straight box on. Like,
wow, straight box.
Like, and we built as out of the box, you know, maybe little details here and there. But like, yeah, pretty much as they come. To me, like the Aspect Warriors are pretty like sacred, like in their form. Like they are like what they are. Yeah, I think that they're like nearly perfect. I think the sculpts are amazing. I hope for new Dire Avengers at some point, but that could be a ways off. So, you know, I'll kitbash those. But other than that, everything will be pretty much straight from the box, and then in my own grimdark style.
My Dire Avengers that you played with are basically their guardians with the Dire Avenger bits on them, because the Dire Avenger bodies are kind of pretty static, and
that's what, you know, Dire Avengers originally were, is they're like a more focused guardian. So they're just like a upgrade sprue, essentially, is what, like, they'd be a great selection for an upgrade sprue at some point.
So that was Friday. We get into Saturday, and actually, no, my game two on Friday. No, when are we on Saturday? Game two. Yeah, my game two on Saturday actually was against Nick, and Nick had his amazingly painted Angels of Death as Space Wolves. They're super amazing. I am game two into Battleclade, with Battleclade into him. Actually, I got some synergies to kind of work and start getting figured out a little bit. We played on a board that Tyler had designed, kind of a new board that Tyler's working through. Maybe something you'll see at the Kill Scream. And I actually started to figure the Battleclade out a little bit, and they've got some cool stuff. I was able to like tactically tap a point with the network counteract or get a couple of shooting actions onto someone. And so I ended up winning that game. It was a good game. It wasn't super far off. I think game one, by the way, was loot. Game two was secure because Connor bitched about it, because Tyler said we're going to play loot all weekend, but Connor bitched about it enough that we played secure for game two.
Listen, so I finally swapped to elites. I don't want to play nothing but loot. Okay.
I mean, elites are great on loot. You got three APL.
Nah.
So that was game two. We get to Saturday, and my highlight of Saturday was we forced Connor to watch Mallrats, because when we were at Adepticon, we found out that Connor had never seen Mallrats because it was, you know, came out like
93 or some shit.
95. So this is one of my favorite parts of the weekend. Actually, I did the thing that I do with Jenna, where when Tyler and Greg and I were sitting around eating dinner on Sunday evening, I was like, what was your favorite part of the weekend? And this was my favorite part, actually. So getting all the guys together and watching Mallrats, all the guys who had seen Mallrats together, seen Mallrats before, but like just reliving those moments and seeing a movie that we all really enjoyed, and then experiencing Connor watching it the first time. And Connor, so what did you think of Mallrats?
I thought it was a fun movie. I enjoyed it for the most part. I was confused by the cult like following that everyone there seemed to love for it. But I think that's probably because it was something you saw in your childhood and or teenage years probably, and it just kind of attached to you because it was like the vibes you remember from the malls. But it was a fun movie.
Yeah. Have you ever seen any of the other Jersey movies?
No, I have not. I've not seen any of the other Askin View. Oh, fuck. What is it called? The
Askew Universe.
Askew Universe films, yes. Or Askew of, yeah. I've not seen any of the other ones. I know I need to watch Clerks at some point because that one's pretty good. I know there's that one about Jay and Silent Bob striking back. I know he did some pretty Clerks 2 or 3 or something.
Connor, you gotta find a copy of Dogma and watch Dogma.
Is that also part of that universe?
Chasing Amy.
It is. Chasing Amy's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them. So
no, I had a really good time. Like, I haven't watched that movie in a long time. I watched that movie a lot when I was younger, and watching it with friends, like, I think we need to do more like buddy movie watching nights, because I really enjoyed that, where we'd had some beverages, maybe some other stuff, and like sitting down and like watching it and like pausing it and talking through the movie. Like, I had a really good time. I think we even maybe we do like a Vox Cascadia watch along for something.
You know, that'd be cool. Could be fun.
So yeah, I had a really good time. Tyler, I have a note here, a quote from you. Every time we talk to every time we talk to Connor, I feel older.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, like, he'll just say something. It'll be like out of nowhere. It'll be like something that like everyone assumes, I guess, that you know, of the millennial generation.
Oh, I asked what was he the not QJ or whatever, but the other character. Oh my god, wow, I'm bad with names. He asked for his copy of something back from his ex-girlfriend, and I asked what that was, and everyone looked at me like I had just shot a baby in front of them. I remember. Fuck.
From like Brody Bruce?
No, one of the Mallrats characters.
Yeah, Brody Bruce is Jason Lee, who's yes. the kind of the main character. T.S. Yeah. Quint yeah. is the
Brody the asked his girlfriend for his copy of it was a single word, and I asked if it was a magazine, but apparently it was some movie that was really big. But I cannot remember the name of the movie.
I'm blanking on it now too.
Brody asks.
Oh, it was Fletch.
Fletch. There we go. Yeah, I'd never heard of Fletch. And when I asked what Fletch was, I was like, is that a magazine? You all looked at me like I had killed someone.
Yeah, I don't think that was it. That's not what would have prompted that.
One of my notes is, what's Fletch? Mm-hmm. So yeah,
that's a separate incident.
Also, I think we talked about felching. So mm-hmm. Connor wanted to know about what felching was. So if you know what felching is, DM Connor and let him know.
No, that's okay. I Googled it.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm not going to not Google it.
Safe search off?
Yeah, I mean, AI overview, baby.
There's an AI overview for felching?
You can Google it right now. I Googled it then, and I was like, oh, neat.
No, I don't want that in my Google history.
All right. Oh, the National Institutes of Health, actually, is the first thing that pops up here.
Interesting.
All right. Cool. I'm not going to read that on the air because we've said enough.
Felching is the blank, blank, blank involving the blank, 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 no, blank of the blank, 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 often after blank, blank.
Yeah, that's enough.
That's where Tyler draws the line.
We don't need to be bringing back those early 2000s shock
we
words.
Can see what anal cunt 15 times, but Connor making a very blank
that's a very famous band. You know, with like deep.
I don't know if that value. Would be a band that would qualify as very famous.
I wouldn't say very famous.
They're probably one of the most famous grindcore bands.
I mean, that's like saying I'm the number one orc player on the planet. So it's like a niche of a niche game in a niche hobby.
I've heard of grindcore, Tyler, but I don't think that's a common genre that like of music that people would know. Like if you were to throw it up with three other fake names, I don't think that would be like, oh, that's the real one.
Really?
Yes, really. I didn't know what grindcore was. I'm not like of that same music scene. You know me, I like my Midwest emo and my pop punk, but I had never heard of grindcore until meeting you.
Seth Putnam has a Wikipedia page all about him. So
I mean, who the fuck is Seth Putnam?
Yeah, every football player from the 60s has a like having a Wikipedia page isn't
famous,
that
they're famous.
Like difficult.
They're
I'm famous. Creating a Wikipedia page about Connor right now.
The first person like conceived by IVF has a Wikipedia page.
Famous.
All right, moving on. Back to Mallrats real quick. Jenna doesn't know about Mallrats, so I'm going to have to sit Jenna down and watch Mallrats. So she's already in New York.
Buy it at this point.
What's that?
You might as well just buy it at this point.
I mean, honestly, I need to. Well, you found it for free for us, so I need to steal that.
No, I just got a free coupon for.
Oh, that's right. You had a free coupon. Yeah, I should buy it, actually. My next. So after What is Fletch? Oh, actually, going back real quick. Connor really likes to say, my point being right.
Wait, what?
You say, my point being right. Uh-huh, uh-huh. So when you make a point, you say it, and somebody counters it, you say, but my point being right.
Oh, I don't know if I'm saying, I don't know. I probably do, but I'm trying to say like right, not as in I am correct, but like, let me re-clarify what I'm trying to like state, you know?
No, I think it's pretty much like my point. Like, I'm right, you're wrong.
I mean, maybe it is, but I think at least if I was to say that, I mean, like, my point being right, like, I'm trying to reiterate my position.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, Connor.
Thank you.
So, my next note is, what is the dong tier list from Sean? Because we played... For not in the Patreon, Jeremy Spake, we actually gave him, made him listen to 12 minutes of exclusive content that you only get access on the Patreon on patreon.com/FoxCascadiaPodcast. And there's some dong talk on one of the previous ones. So And then I have a note that's speculative dong tier list, but we'll maybe do that in the after the show. But late on, this would be late on
Saturday,
Connor and Nick got a game in where Nick brought his
Raveners.
One beautifully painted Ravener, four more on the way to be beautifully painted Raveners against Connor's Nemesis Claw. And Nick had never played this team before, and Connor had that game go.
It went pretty well. Nick got it in the end. It literally came down to the primary op selection, which is always a fun way for the game to get decided. But we pretty much just punched each other a lot in the middle, and it was a good time. We played on one of my maps, so I liked how it felt. Mind you, it's one game, so it needs more experiments or testing than that. But Raveners are neat. I don't like that they can just go into the tunnel while they were in combat with me, but it is what it is. That was just like, God damn it, I thought that was going to be a kill. I messed up my the fallback or move ploy because I forgot I could use it to fall back because I've never actually used it to fall back yet. So, hey, that was a good learning moment. Can't complain about that.
Yeah, Raveners are an interesting team to play against, and I don't think you can really understand them until you've actually played against them.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is I would read their cards, but, like, it was hard just tracking the title, especially in the first game, of the operative to what that operative was, especially because they get pulled in and off the board so much. So it's just going to have to be like, I need to learn to recognize the very, definitive feature of what makes that Ravenir different than the other ones and remember that feature with their data card, essentially.
So somewhere in here, I think I got out of order. Sam and I played a game. I played against Sam's Nemclaw into my new favorite team, Battleclade, and it was really close. I did some cool stuff, but Sam eked me out in the end. We played Orb, though. This was game three. Yeah,
game three we did Orb.
Yeah, so Sam and I played game three, and we played Orb. We tried the new mission. New mission is fucking weird.
It was fun.
It was fun.
It's real weird, though. Like,
weird.
I think there's going to be some interesting tech with it because the fact that you can jump onto the orb point and then and for those who haven't seen with orb, there's a little orb, a token or whatever, that is on a point. And if it's on that point, you can't score that point. But you can
score the other 2 points.
You can score the other 2 points that's still three points, still three objective markers. Mm-hmm. You can, though, kick the orb to another person's point off of yours. So
no, I think you guys might have played that wrong. I don't know exactly because I wasn't there. But so if the orb is in the center. Yeah, it starts in the center line, and it can be moved to either half, like, you know, your deployment's objective side or your opponent's. If it's on one of the outer, like, edge deployments, it can only be moved back to the center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's we played it correctly, okay, but sure.
The thing is you could send it to your opponent's half.
No, but you could also, like, if you, like, your opponent was on the center point, you could kick it back to, and the orb was on yours for some reason, you could kick it to their point, and then all of a sudden they're not scoring that point.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was an interesting one, but I think Greg mentioned that it was like you can only score a max of like 5 points or something on it.
You're gonna score like probably 5. Like, it's probably gonna be like poorly weighted, and like you're not gonna want to take the tac op as like your selection, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because of how the orb goes.
You mean you're not gonna want to take the crit op
or the crit op?
Okay, yeah, gotcha. Yeah. I was like, wait, were you also playing
crit op as your primary?
Yeah, yeah. The too many ops in this game.
Yeah,
primary. You won't want to select the primary like as like the you know, the main objective, because, like, you're just, like, at a deficit there, potentially. And, like, is it even, like, you know, it's always worth pursuing it for those points, but, like, you can kind of not play the game and then, like, last minute move the orb sometimes. And, like, just avoid, you know, your opponent pulling ahead. Tie it up.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Last activation's really strong on that.
It's a weird one. It's very fun, though. I liked the ability to bounce it back and forth multiple times in a turning point. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you play Orb with Nick?
That was the one I played against Nick. So, because we were, like, elites, and we had, like, all of us around in the center, it was just a fun game of, like, turn two, I think it got kicked 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Unfortunately, Sam wasn't able to join us on Sunday because they have a produce stand actually at the Astoria Farmers Market. So if you're in Astoria, go find Sam.
Go support local businesses.
They always have a bow tie on and a fantastic shirt, by the way. When we went out one of the evenings, I think Sam got multiple compliments on the like shirt four. That they were wearing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can always find Sam. Pageboy hat, bow tie, and fantastic like button-up shirt.
I don't think that's a Pageboy hat, is it?
I think it's a Pageboy hat. Google it. So that was Saturday. Sunday. Cody had a heart-to-heart about the addition, and Cody feels the same way about Connor as Connor does. So, like, but Cody hasn't played a bunch yet. Cody got more games in, almost as many games in this weekend. Cody switched teams the entire time, which was awesome because they played Aquilons. They played, would Cody play the second game? Played Colts the third game into Greg.
He played Breachers game two.
Breachers game two, Sam's Breachers. Sam and his kid painted up the Breachers and played him game two. But Connor and Cody like minds about this addition.
Are we? I thought Cody said he liked a lot of the changes.
No, I my notes say that he feels the same way. So
I just remember him saying he was fine with like the single tack op and everything like that. And
I think by the end of the weekend, he was feeling pretty stoked on it, you know, like liking it overall for like just like the flow of it. I think it flows better, you know?
Yeah. Connor, talk to me a little bit about Battlefield 6, because I got some Battlefield 6 notes here.
I did.
I had my Xbox down for the beta. You got to play, switching back from my superior inverted to your normal.
Yep. And then I had to figure out like five times, because it was very funny when Nick was watching me, I kept stabbing nothing because I'd try and crouch or go prone, but that was your button for knife, and I got so sick and tired of it. I spent like 3 minutes in the settings trying to figure out how to figure it, switch it, and then I eventually did, and instantly like improved my ability to one bang these fools. But no, Battlefield 6, good time. It felt exactly like playing back like Bad Company 2, Battlefield 3. The game, you know, it's a Battlefield game. It looks gorgeous. They always do. But the gameplay was very fun. The shotgun is crazy good. And I made an easy $15 off you and Cody betting that I could get someone with a defibrillator. And then I got like 20 people with a defibrillator.
Yeah, I was actually going to send you a video of somebody getting like six people in a hallway with a defibrillator. Yeah. So, also, I have a note that says Connor was yelling at a player named Sam Tech. I have a podcast. Revive me.
Yeah, it was the classic Battlefield meme of they're like a medic within 5 meters of you, and they keep getting closer, like, you know, 3, 2, 1, 0, 1, 2, 3, like they just wouldn't find me. I was like, come on, man, come on, Sam Tech, don't let me down, revive me, I'll mention you on the podcast, because I was trying to summon him to revive me, and eventually he did.
Sam Tech did revive you. Sam Tech now has a mention on the podcast. Exactly. And I also found out that Connor's a teabagger.
Oh, 100%. The dude shot me in the back. I whipped around and killed him before he could finish me off. He needs to get teabagged for that.
I don't know. Tyler, do you teabag in games?
No. I don't have time. I'm too busy killing people.
Yeah, I just teabag in real life. I'm not going to take the time to teabag in a game, though.
No, easy. It's about... Listen, I grew up playing Halo 2, Halo 3. That's all those games were about, man. You dome someone after they had the advantage on you and fucked it up, you gotta know.
So I have a note here also that says, go get your own fucking article from Tyler. Tyler, do you remember what that's about?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
When was that?
I don't. It was a Sunday note, I think.
I don't recall. Sunday, interesting. Was that maybe during your guys' dinner? Because we played Greg's Blood Rage game, which was pretty fun. But I don't remember him saying that during that.
Oh, yeah, I guess played Blood Rage. What do you think of that?
It was pretty fun.
It's pretty good, yeah. I got I did okay on it. I made some mistakes in it. Board games are always very complex, and my brain feels very small sometimes, like very full, I should say, not small.
I liked it. It was neat. It kind of felt like Root, if anyone's played that, where you have like your own board of like I don't know how common it is, because I don't do a lot of board games more complicated than like Ticket to Ride or Catan, but for like the players to have their own sheets to track their stuff. But the only time I've ever seen it otherwise was in Root, so it kind of reminded me of that. But the factions, while they all had different names, it was just what color you had compared to like Root, where depending on the faction, you really influences how you play the game. So that was kind of nice that I didn't have to like learn everyone's different play styles on top of learning the game as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was like pretty easy to like learn and pick up and,
yeah,
you know, just play overall.
Tyler, your game three was Sunday into, mm-hmm, you played Jeremy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you brought Blades Kane again.
Yeah, absolutely. And he fucking dumpstered me. He was he held back, just cautious boy, and he just shot me, you know, like we were playing like some test maps and it made me realize a couple faults in it, but like he was just cautious and his bolters did work, you know. It was pretty rough.
So I think we got through everybody's games. Overall, Greg won. Greg went 2-0-1-1. He had two wins and a tie against Tyler. So we then had Cody in second place, actually. Cody, who played – or no, hold on. No, Jeremy was second place. Cody was third. Sam was fourth. Tyler was fifth. I was sixth. Nick was seventh. And Connor back on his 0-for streak.
Yeah, some things never change.
Yeah.
But still, it was a fun time. I was mostly just trying out some stuff and then also playing essentially against two teams I haven't played yet before. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah. You never played against them.
Against Raveners. And I've like Raveners. Played maybe one or two games against the Aquilons. But I think both those were like start of the edition, so I didn't really remember how that worked, as well as definitely before they got their big buff that like gave them the extra guy and all those bonuses.
Yeah, so Greg also won the board game. What was it called?
Blood Rage.
Yeah. So Greg won Blood Rage. So Greg finally got to play his board game. So he schlepped the games to Adepticon, and we never had a chance to play them. Then schlepped them back to Maryland from Milwaukee, then brought them all the way to the Pacific Northwest and finally got a game in before he brought them back. So so that was Sunday. Everybody kind of peaced out a little bit. Jeremy left first. Connor, Cody, and Nick then ended up heading back. Greg had a late flight and Tyler was nice enough to hang out to drop him off at PDX. So Greg, Tyler, and I got dinner in downtown again and then hung out a little bit. And I left last. I actually came back to Vancouver from the coast on Monday morning. But it was a fantastic weekend with some amazing people. And I absolutely cannot wait to do it again next year.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Maybe we're going to have a few more bodies sleep in the garage. Bring an air mattress and a sleeping bag, right?
I mean, we can get more bodies in there. There's only so many bathrooms and so many tables to play on, but we can figure it out. So
I don't really feel like there's ever an issue with bathrooms, you know? Do you?
I mean, I had to poop a lot, and so
I mean, so did I, you know. But like, yeah. I always do. Connor did too, because he always does.
Yeah, but Connor went into downtown and found like a public restroom away from us. So
that makes sense. Theirs. Well, yeah, like it was an incredible weekend. Thanks for hosting, Chuck. We appreciate you for being just a super generous host for the second year in a row.
Yeah,
I'm glad it worked out. Thank you, Jenna's parents, Lisa and Paul.
Thank you, for guys,
letting us have the place. A couple last minute notes. One, Sam wants more hobby next year. So mm-hmm. All of us hauled a bunch of hobby shit out there and did very little hobby.
Very little.
I think we need to dedicate some time to making sure we do more hobby. Two, run a tournament with your friends. If you got a few people coming around, like get on BCP, it's free, and put a tournament up there, get some pairings, and like you guys can, I'll post the link in the description, but you guys can see the results from our tournament, and you know, just do it.
Yeah.
Also, our tournament results are already up. How the fuck is Tacoma not up already? It's been almost a goddamn month. Where are our fucking results?
How else are you going to be continuing to be the best orc player in the world?
Right? Like, I'm not the best in the world, but best in the US at least. Like, come on. Like, where's the fucking numbers? Seriously.
I don't know. Maybe I'll get best in faction.
Nah, I think I'm too far off best in faction. I think I'd have to go to LVO and I'd have to do good at LVO, and I don't think I'm gonna be able to do that, unfortunately. So but yeah. Gentlemen, any last minute thoughts on ChuckyCon 2025? Also, question for you. My dog was there. Mm-hmm. Can Indy come back next year?
Yeah, of course. Indy can be there. You know, he's annoying as fuck at moments, but like he's super annoying.
He's so sweet,
good boy.
Yeah, if you want to see like me getting cucked by my own dog, like mm-hmm. go on my Instagram on Pancake Minis, and you can see him all up in Tyler's lap.
You got to reword that, man.
No,
it's true.
I think it's right.
Indy loves me.
Indy loves you deep down. Indy loves everyone. It was I had a great time. Thank you, gentlemen, for like making the trip. I know, like, you know, Connor, Cody, thank you for faring down Nick and Connor.
Thanks, Cody. You were the best. We stopped.
Yeah, Tyler, Cody loves a space age. Tyler, thank you for grabbing Greg, making
always
his anytime. Calendar work for you. Sam, thanks for bringing the airbrush stuff. Jeremy, thanks for showing up. Thanks for bringing air matches. We didn't need it. You brought your amazing terrain, even though we didn't need it, but you were there. And thank you for also recreating the Connor picture Connor was playing BF6. So maybe that'll be a Patreon.
Sierra liked that photo. She thought it was very amusing that he recreated it.
It was pretty fucking funny. He was very really chuffed good. By the original picture. So
what is the original picture? So good.
Just Google it.
Better not be like the other thing.
It is.
It's just like, yeah.
Exactly. Actually, okay. God, you're old.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it was a super good time. If you have the ability to just get a few friends together for a weekend of drinking, other debauchery, gaming, watching movies, playing video games, just do it while you can. It's a great time.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, when everybody cleared out and I was like, I'd had the house clean. I was sitting on the porch with Indy with a beer and just kind of reflecting on it, like feeling good about the people in my life. And, you know, I wish I could share with more people that I love. So, thank you all for coming. We're going to do it again next year. So, I also have to, by the way, definitely going to have to be able to do it next year because Jenna's sister showed up the day after I got there and complimented that the place was spotless. So, getting the points for next year. Shout out to Zero Cool Chris ferrying plastic for me. CB bought some plastic from me, and I found out that Chris was going to go and is going to see CB soon. So I have to shout out Chris. The plastic connection, like the plastic, like, underground is the wildest thing. Like, he rolled up to my house in his minivan, like rolled down the window. He's like, "Hey, you got that stuff for me?" I'm like, "Yeah, man, don't tell people where you got. What are you doing? It's a neighborhood." And I like walked up, like dropped the box in his thing, and he like drove off. It's like the weirdest, like nerdiest, nerdiest, like fucking drug deal you could ever do.
I mean, like that, or like you go to buy some weed and they make you watch like a lot of Dragon Ball Z.
Did you do that to people?
No, I
were the Dragon Ball victim.
Anyone?
No, Nick was this weekend. He asked what Vegeta was, and so me and Cody gave him like a 10-minute rundown on Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z.
Vegeta's a Hotep.
Vegeta's what?
A Hotep.
Like Bubba Hotep?
No, like Hotep. Like it's like a group of like African nationalists. If you don't know what a Hotep is, look it up online.
All I know is Bubba Hotep.
Okay. Bubba Hotep's good.
Same thing, right? So
yeah, similar. But anyways, thank you guys for listening to us. You can check us out online. Connor's at Spanaway. You can check out Chuck at Painting Cave Minis, which he's actually plugged a few times tonight and posted on recently. Check me out at Lowbrow Minis on Instagram or diestar.bigcartel.com. I got a new shirt inspired by Orb. that we came up with this weekend, coming real soon. So
do you want to tease it a little bit more? Like,
yeah, it's
what it's gonna look
it's
like.
Orb. It's, you know, it's the Geomancer. And it's an orb. He's pondering his orb. It's real good. So I have actually got the final drawing. I dropped it in our chat, and then it's gonna be some glow on that center orb in his eye there. Should be really, really cool. So that'll be going up. It'll be pre-ordering through September and available for pickup at CritCon or shipping in November.
Yeah, and don't forget CritCon Killstream 4 is coming up. Tickets are on sale right now. Actually, while we were recording this, Matt Small and Ivan Small both signed up for the Killstream Grand Tournament, and Ivan signed up for the doubles. So I'm assuming that's going to be with Matt. So
absolutely,
get your tickets.
We also have the OFCC Maelstrom 500 available now. I may restructure this a little bit. May do something a little weird. Announce it here soon. So we want more of you to be involved. It seems like two big GT kind of events, or like serious events in a row is a little much. So I think I may pivot to something new and weird.
Yeah. So CascadiaTabletop.com, patreon.com/FoxCascadiaPodcast, at Spano and everything, at Lobra Minis, at Painted Kid Minis, Dexter.com, and Tyler, give us the app.
Yeah. We love you. Good night.